Trek Geeks Podcast Network and the Divine Treasury are proud to have Fansets as its presenting sponsor. Stay tuned for a special discount code worth 10% off your order at fansets.com. Fansets, our pins have character.
This episode is also sponsored by Science Division, the makers of the world's first interactive Tribble. Stay tuned for a special discount code to bring a Tribble into your home today. Science Division. Trouble's never been this fun.
The Divine Treasury is made of pure latinum.
Well, I don't think it's much of a stretch to say that the two of us are recovering from our post-Las Vegas burnout as we muddle our way through this past work week and now, unfortunately, a full work week. And I know our guest on today's show also spent quite a bit of time at the 55-year mission, so much so was he busy that we were never able to catch up with him. But before we get into our interview with him, I, of course, am Mike Bovia, and I am joined by my co-host, Jamie Rogers, who I know at least I was putting almost 20,000 steps a day in when we were in Vegas. I'm sure you were pretty close since we were pretty much following each other around all day.
Yeah, no, definitely a lot of steps. I lost my voice a couple days as well, for sure, which always happens in Vegas with all the talking you're doing and all the other things. So I don't know if I fully recovered from that, but a lot of good times in Vegas, met a lot of good people, and, you know, excited to talk about some of the things that we acquired and saw in Vegas.
Yeah, I found that I would lose my voice more at night if we were meeting with people afterwards. You get talking, and there, I think part of it too is, you know, you're at the bar in the casino and they're pumping all that extra oxygen in to keep people wanting to gamble, and that just dries you out completely. And so you're fighting to talk while at the same time not wanting to just continually buzz down liquor. And I don't know, do they even sell water at a bar?
Yeah, I don't, that's a good That's a good question, but you know, we got to spend a lot of good times too with our sponsors, Fansets. That was a great time. Obviously, getting to see Lou and John and Joe, and don't forget the wives either.
That's right.
You know,
Amity and Lorene.
Yep. You know, so good to spend time with them. Get to hang out with them, and also, you know, some of our fellow podcasters on the network, you know, Johnson, Mike, some of our sci-fi sisters as well, you know, were there. So we definitely had a good time, and you know, a lot of good memories that were created this year in Vegas for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Mike and Jamie's Vegas experience in a little bit. But first, as we always do, let's get into the new merchandise that's popping up on the market since our last episode.
So, Mike, I think I'm going to start. This is an interesting one, especially if you look. This was an article that we took from Trek Core, obviously. Star Trek Discovery prop and costume auction set for September. So basically there's going to be an auction that's going to be taking place, you know, from Viacom CBS, and it's going to be done by the prop store. And what, you know, this is going to happen between the dates of September 2nd through September 16th, through this online auction house. And I'll be honest with you, Mike, I'm looking through, you know, some of the items that are going to be listed here. And we've got some different ones. We've got, you know, Tevron Kritz, which is the Harry Judge's character, the captain's chair from the short treks. You know, the estimate, they've got, you know, obviously different items here and different estimates on what they think they're going to do. You know, so like the chairs, they're estimating between 8,000 and 10,000. But I'll be honest with you, I'm looking at some of these amounts and I really think they're going to go for a lot more, mm-hmm. which is very reminiscent to when we saw the Christie's auction.
It's a wrap stuff.
Yeah. The it's a wrap stuff. And the Christie's auction that took place several years ago, these items just went for so much more than, you know, what they projected them to. And I think that's going to be the case here as well. One that really sticks out to me, and I know we were kind of talking about it on the outset, was Sylvia Tilly's, the Mary Wiseman character, her Mirror Universe uniform. They're only projecting it to go between 2,500 and 3,500. I think that's way, way undervalued. Not sure what your thoughts on that.
So I could, and here's my thoughts. I could see that being a price that it would fetch if it was just a standard duty uniform. However, with it being the Tilly character that everybody has not only come to love throughout the first three seasons of the series, but more and more people seem to identify with her personality as well. And I think that's why she's become such a loved character. Coupled with the fact that, I mean, her performance as Killy in season one and then following that up in season three, I think that's going to push that way over the top. You know, 3,500 seems like it's very conservative for a piece like that.
I agree. I think, and I mean, she was so beloved as that Killy character, like you said, that... Mm-hmm. I just think that that one's way, way, I feel like she's everybody's favorite Mirror character. And I know there are going to be people that are going to say, well, Michelle Yeoh, you know, Philippa Giorgio is more people's favorites. But I tell you, I've watched her autograph booth when she's got those Captain Killy photos and those things go like hotcakes. So I really think that one's going to go high. Another one that I thought that seems to be really underestimated was Saru's science uniform from season one. That's another one that I'm kind of like, they're saying 2,500 to 3,500. I think that one's going to go for way more than that, but a lot of other good items on there as well. You know, they got Spock's science uniform from season two, you know, Philippa Giorgio section 31 uniform from season two, you know, Captain Pike Anson Mount's uniform from season two in the short treks. So
that's the one that I'll be interested to see how much it goes for. I know their high estimate was 5,000. He's another one, you know, instant success with that character. And a lot of it had to do with the Anson Mount. And, you know, sometimes when you have these prop and costume auctions, it becomes about the character, and then other times it becomes about the actor. And I think in a case like both Mary Wiseman and also Anson Mount, it's going to be both of those things together. And I think you could see that go over the 5,000 estimate as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously check out that, you know, that article on Trek Corps, and, you know, be looking for some of those auction items, like I said, between September 2nd and September 16th, I believe, are the dates. So check that out.
So something that I know a lot of people have been very interested in over the last, this is going on their third year now, is the Star Trek wines collection. They started out with the Chateau Picard release. And if I remember correctly, they were the ones that were involved with the 10 forward bottling of liquor and the Scotty's Reserve Scotch. Star Trek Wines is back with their 2021 release. And the first one is, I mean, we saw these when we were in Vegas and went by their booth. Awesome, awesome bottle design. That of Cardassian Canard. So you're not getting the syrup-like substance that Damar drank all the time. Instead, it's a red wine blend that the winemakers have put together. It's just bottled in that classic bottle that almost looks like a serpent as you look at it. But it's also modeled with ornamentation reminiscent of Cardassian design, and the bottle stopper has the Cardassian logo on top. Very, very cool. I mean, we walked by that booth a number of times, and I was tempted to buy that just because of the look. I can't stand wine, but the bottle was just awesome. I really, really was interested in looking at that.
Yeah, they always outdo themselves with the actual presentation, how they make the glass and the bottle and everything. They always, and to your point, it's more than just, like, for me, I'm not a wine drinker either. You know, in fact, I drink very little alcohol, but it's such a nice display piece that I think, you know, for real true fans that are into those kind of things, you know, you could drink that bottle of wine or not drink it, and it's going to display so nicely and be such a nice conversation piece.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were my thoughts exactly. Which brings us to another nice conversation piece that they are also releasing this year. And that is the Andorian Blue Special Reserve, which is going to be a blue premium Chardonnay. Again, not a wine drinker. My wife would probably like that. And I actually might, you know, if I were to buy that, I would probably drink it to try it. It talks about having a taste of citrus, peach, and apricot. So I might be into something like that. But again, I love it for what it looks like. You know, at first, when they were saying Chardonnay, I wasn't sure if it was a typical Chardonnay that's got like a yellowish to clearish tone, and that the bottle was blue. But it's actually a blue Chardonnay. So very cool. And it's got a gorgeous emblazoned United Federation of Planets logo on the bottle. Which makes it a very cool thing. So you can go out and you can pre-order these now at the official Star Trek Wines website.
So obviously that brings us to our next item that we're going to talk about. And this one's kind of an interesting one. Discovery Seasons 1-3, the Blu-ray collection has been announced. So obviously this is, you know, set for release on November 2nd, basically the first 3 years of Star Trek Discovery, you know, repackaged into a 12 disc collection. Kind of an interesting choice. You know, this is follows the typical Viacom CBS of, you know, rebranding and repackaging the same things, putting it out again. I actually did pull it up on Amazon to see how much it is. And right now the pre-order price is $111.99, which seems, I'll be honest, seems a little ridiculous to me. Not really much of a savings, especially when you look at the fact that you technically can buy seasons 1 and 2, that bundle, for $44.03. So it's almost cheaper if you buy those two together and then just buy season 3, but whatever. It is a very nice sharp looking Blu-ray release, with all the characters on the front from the first 3 seasons. So, but yeah, something I'm not going to delve into, since I already own the individual seasons that have come on. And I think really probably most Star Trek fans, if they're going to collect the physical media, are probably going to have the individual seasons already anyways. But, you know, once again, it's rebranding and repackaging time.
Divine Treasury, where we use the rules of acquisition to try and get you the lowest price on things. I agree with you. I don't think this is something I would be purchasing either. You know, I've got my steel books of the first three seasons, and that's good enough for me. I might question getting it if there was some new special features that were being released as a part of it, but on first look, it didn't look like that was the case. But, you know, kudos to CBS Viacom, because they know that there are collectors out there who, you know, we're not in this particular category, but there are some who are in the category of, you know, if it's printed physical media, they need to own it. You know, I know of people who have all the DVD release of TNG, and then they have the release of Blu-ray TNG, and then they bought the Blu-ray box set of TNG, and they have all the sub collections of TNG, like the Borg collection, the Q collection. And, you know, again, it's rebranding, repackaging of things that you own in one form or another, but they got to have it for their media shelf. So
see, I did that up and I did everything you just mentioned, except for the entire set. That was one, where they put it all together in one release. You know, I did all the subsets when the Blu-rays came out. I didn't care that I already had the episode in the actual season Blu-ray box set, but yeah, so I did all that. So I am one of those crazy people, other than the fact of getting the entire set. I did not do that. I'm sure I will at some point when it drops down to some crazy price, but you know, I didn't really see a need to get another set of Blu-rays.
Yeah. And I got to say, as much as I am a collector, I like having my succinct shelf now of just nice box sets, and that's it. You know, it's all wrapped up in a tight little bundle, and I don't have to worry too much about it. So, not quite a tight little bundle, as I was just mentioning, but actually a lot of pieces come with this next piece of merchandise that's coming to the market. Our friends from XO6 announced their release of Captain Catherine Janeway as their next 1/6 collectible figure. And in their initial pre-order, they sold out in, was it 20 minutes they
sold out? Yeah, it was like 22 minutes or
yeah,
something crazy.
I mean, they couldn't believe how quickly they sold out in it, so much so that later in the day, they did a second wave of pre-order to accommodate people that didn't have the opportunity to hop online in that short 20-minute window. But, you know, in the tradition, the short tradition so far that we have seen of XO6's products, this is another one that looks gorgeous in design, echoing that museum quality that they've talked about. The Starfleet jumpsuit is actual material that, I mean, geez, you look at it and it's almost better quality than some of the costumes you can buy on eBay for this 1/6 figure. It comes with the standard issue Catherine Janeway coffee mug. It comes with many different hands to put it in different articulated poses. It comes with a handheld phaser and a phaser rifle, a tricorder, a pad. And I can't tell what the last piece of the picture is. Yeah, I can't tell what it is. It does not say in the description, but there's some kind. Oh, it's just a display base. That's why I can't tell. It's like, geez, that doesn't look like anything I ever saw in the show. That's because it's a display base. So typical to these high quality figures, it does have a high quality price tag. So the retail is going to be $189.95, which includes the $20 non-refundable deposit that they've done on the Picard and Data figures. But again, you know, when you want something that is quality and is going to display very well, such as this, you do pay more for it. So, and seems like a lot of people were willing to pay for that. And again, this is kind of what we were just talking about with the prop and costume auctions, that it's a beloved character, so people are going after it.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking as you were reading this off, this is really a testament to the fact of there's not a lot of figurines of Janeway on the market. And I think it's really a testament to the fact that fans have been clamoring to have more Janeway in a type of toy slash figurine, because they just don't exist. You know, Playmates really went heavy on like Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, things like that, that it just shows that, you know, X-06 was very smart to go with the Voyager characters next, because we can just see it. And I think they're also probably riding the coattails a little bit of this Voyager documentary that's coming out. And I just think that they really were smart in their timing for when to release this figure.
And speaking of riding off coattails, they did do a preview on their Twitter account this week, showing what their next figure is going to be. And it looks like it's going to be the Doctor from Voyager.
Yeah. His signature holo emitter was what gave it away. Cause obviously if he had just shown just the uniform down, you might not have known who it was. It could have been Bashir. It could have been, you know, any number of people, but that holo emitter definitely gave it away for sure.
So, the pre-orders on this are officially over. They took place on Friday, the 20th of August, but you can go through third-party retailers. So you can try that still at this point in the game if you were not able to get your Janeway. Again, $189.95 for this 1/6 scale collectible figure.
And one thing I'm going to say about that too, because obviously I've ordered the Data and I've ordered the Picard. I did the Picard through X-06 directly, and I've done the Data, you know, through the third party, and I still have not received my Data from the third party store. So just bear that in mind, that you may save a little bit on the shipping end, because it seems to be some of these third party distributors are definitely cheaper when it comes to shipping. But you're definitely going to get your figure well after, you know, the people who are getting it directly from X-06. So as it stands right now, I'm looking to pay the rest of my balance for my Picard. So I may end up either getting the Data right before my Picard, or I may actually get the Picard before my Data. So we'll see how this plays out in the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks or so. But that's something to keep in mind too, if you're going to go to a third party for sure.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting my Picard in.
All right, so that brings us now to our section on Eagle Moss and some of the look at their new ships from the Starships collection. The two that we're going to kind of highlight on our episode today is releases that are scheduled for November. So we have a release from the Discovery. Well, it's the Star Trek Discovery line. So issue number 9, it's going to be the Section 31, the Deimos class ship. So this was that Section 31 ship predominantly featured in season 2 of Discovery. It's a really sharp looking ship. Kind of reminds me of Star Trek Beyond a little bit, and it's how it looks and the design and the sleekness of it. Kind of looks like, all of a sudden, I can't think of what that ship name was. The Vengeance.
Oh, from Into Darkness?
Yeah. Into Darkness. I don't know why I said Beyond. Star Trek Into Darkness is the one that this ship looks, the Vengeance. So all black, obviously, and a pretty sharp looking ship. But I will not be getting this one. So the second ship that we're going to talk about is from the online Starships. It's actually the Concord class Federation Operation Command Battlecruiser. Boy, that's a mouthful. Definitely a sharp looking ship. I have not been playing Star Trek Online. I haven't played in a few years, so not one that I'm familiar with, but it definitely is a cool design. I actually like the white in the ship, how the coloring looks. And then it's got a, you know, like a light blue and then that kind of that light orange for your nacelles, which is a little different than what we traditionally see with our, with, you know, some of the other starships in the Starships collection. But definitely if you're into Star Trek Online, for sure, this would be a ship that you'd want to get.
It seems like, unfortunately, that's going to be the last of the online Eagle Moss. Ben Robinson, in a tweet to a fan who was asking if there was going to be more released, said that they just did not have the attraction from fans that Eagle Moss would have expected. And even he said it's too bad because there's so many nice designs from that game that they could have put into production. But hey, you know, they're in business to make money. And if they're not making money on something, then why keep putting out the line?
Yeah, no. And I mean, I kind of harken back to our conversation with Jim Morehouse and, you know, how, you know, you're talking about a hardcore collector like us, but yet he is very, very attached to what is in canon. And unfortunately, a lot of Star Trek fans are really hung up by that word canon. And if it's not in canon or it's not in the printed, you know, in the visual media form, let's say in a novel, you know, not in a novel and things like that, they won't buy it. They're that strict about it. So I just think this was another classic. I'll be honest, when I saw that he was going to, that they were going to do the online Starships collection, I was a little surprised. Because I thought it was kind of a misstep. And obviously, some of my thoughts were kind of true in this regard.
Yeah, I did actually buy one from that collection only because I was collecting all the ships that they produced named Enterprise. And I still haven't got all of them because they do still have like the design for Phase 2 that they were going to put into play that they that Eagle Moss actually released, things like that. But Star Trek Online had the Enterprise F as part of their game. And so Eagle Moss released that. So I do have that. But again, you know, I look at some of the designs and they're cool, but I think if I was probably more into Star Trek Online, I might have gone deeper down the rabbit hole with something like that. I've never been able to get attached to it. As much as I enjoy the game, I'm not the best of game players. And so when it starts to become challenging, I lose interest in it. And I just walk away and move on to what else gives me interest. So the next item up for bids, if we were the Price is Right. Factory Entertainment is putting out some really cool, I don't want to call them trinkets because they're a little bit big to be called trinkets, but definitely for those of us that like to have shelf display items. So they're scaling down some of the Star Trek props, making them affordable to everybody, all metal. And the first two things that they are putting out are alien weapons. First thing, the Vulcan Lerpa, as seen in Amok Time. So that is an 8-inch all metal piece. And both of these pieces that we're going to talk about here come with a nice display stand that says Star Trek right on it. So it makes for something really cool to put out on display with some of your other stuff. So the Lerpa is now available for pre-order, and the pricing on it, again, not that bad, $34.99. I mean, you know, I say that it's 8 inches long, so that's not that big, but again, display pieces, $35. when you looked at some of the things in the vendor's room at Vegas, $35 ain't a bad deal on something like this. And then the second piece that they're going to be releasing is everybody's favorite weapon, the Batleth, the design as seen in the Berman era Star Trek, starting with the Next Generation. I know they've changed the design a little bit for Discovery, but this is the original design that Dan Curry came up with. That's going to be 7 inches long. It also is going to be all metal, and it also will have this nice display stand. And again, it can be pre-ordered now for $34.99. So I am guessing, Jamie Rogers, that the Lerpa doesn't carry much interest for you. But how about the Batleth, since it's a TNG thing?
I definitely like it. I think it looks nice, but I do not think either one is going to be gracing the halls here of the Jamie Rogers man cave. I just got too many other things on the horizon, you know, some more of these card sets coming out pretty soon and things like that. And plus we just went to Vegas, so got to kind of reset a little bit. So I don't think I'm going to be adding them to the collection.
Maybe it sounds like an idea for a podcast co-host for a podcast anniversary gift. You never know. So now that we've gone through all the things that you can buy, you are going to get to listen to all the things that we have bought. And to lead it off, we have our exclusive resident purchaser, Jamie Rogers, will tell us what is filling the man cave this week.
Yeah, I'm actually embarrassed to read this list because it's just ridiculously long. It feels, you know, it's weird, Mike, because it feels like it's been an eternity since we've recorded, obviously. You know, obviously the trip in Vegas is kind of, you know, we had a lot of stuff happen, a lot of stuff go on. So a lot of these items I did get in Vegas, but I did get some other things. Now, obviously, I'm going to start off by saying I should be talking about my next four kits from my Enterprise D build. However, my kits are lost in the mail right now. So the post office has managed to lose that package. So that's, I actually had to call Eagle Moss today and have them reship out because there's been no movement for over 2 weeks. So, and then it was interesting. I know we talk about Brendan all the time too. He didn't even get his shipment this month. So some funky stuff going on with the Enterprise D build, but I digress. So I'm not going to be talking about it this time, but I hopefully will be talking about it in our next episode for sure. But I did get another item from Eagle Moss. Very excited to get this. The Future Enterprise from TNG, you know, from All Good Things in the XL collection. So super excited. And what's interesting too is I think people probably don't even realize that it's the, you know, I think Eagle Moss is trying to find a way to describe this when they do their packing list, but I almost didn't realize what it was because it was entitled the dread, you know, Federation Dreadnought or something like that. So, which was like really confusing to me, but no matter. I got my Future Enterprise, so I'm very excited about that. And actually, so I'm going to be kind of pausing my XL collection for a while and just kind of focusing on the Enterprise D build. So we should start seeing less and less of those. I did get all the Funkos. and I know it's a funny story because you were with me in Vegas and I had all the Funkos pre-ordered several months ago from Target. And I only had gotten the Gorn for some reason. And I had to buy the Spock with the Cat Funko through eBay. But I just, every time I was walking by that table in the vendor's room with all the other Funkos, I just said, I can't wait any longer. So of course I got the other six. So
they were calling your name.
They were calling my name. And, you know, when I looked at the price and everything, it, I mean, I think I spent a couple of extra dollars than what I would have gotten, would have paid for the six through Target. So it wasn't that crazy. So, like I said, once again, I got the Gorn Funko, which is awesome. I mean, looks absolutely incredible. I'm sure you would agree as well. The Spock with the Cat Funko. So the Gorn one was a Target exclusive. The Spock with the Cat Funko, that was a Funko.com exclusive. The other six, obviously, were regularly distributed. So you had the Captain Kirk Funko in the captain's chair. You had the Khan in the original series, you know, his original series attire. And then you had four from the original series Mirror Universe. So you had the Mirror Kirk, the Mirror Spock, the Mirror Sulu, and the Mirror Uhura. So have all that. So that's really cool. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is the autographs that I got in Vegas. And obviously compared to what, you know, and especially if you've listened to episode one and my autograph collection, this is a very tame list from what I've done in the past when I've gone to Vegas. But I really kind of focused on this year, pretty much just getting the Picard ones. Obviously, as I know, you know, and I know you know as well, Mike, I was very disappointed that Michelle Hurd canceled, you know, that during the weekend, because I really had a plan to get her as well. But I did get Evan Evagora. So he, you know, was a nice autograph picture. He obviously personalized it to me and, you know, did his little choose to live little quote on there. So that was nice. I did get an Issa Briones one. Some interesting ones that I did get. I wasn't initially planning to get Kelsey Grammer's, but because of Michelle Hurd backing out and me not really knowing who else I would want to get, I ended up getting Kelsey Grammer as Captain Morgan Bateson. I wasn't initially going to get Rainn Wilson, but I decided to get him as well. Unfortunately, I did not get him. I really didn't have a picture that I was that happy about when it came to his Discovery pictures. So I did end up getting him on a photo of Dwight Schrute. So he will not be going up on the Star Trek wall, but we'll be going on another wall.
There's no shame.
One person
in that.
That we got to meet. Let's say, yeah. One person that we should be very excited about. And we hope to have on our show very shortly as well is, was Noah Averbat Katz. What a great guy. I know, you know, you got autographs from him as well, but just a super cool guy. And he's going to take that last spot on my row of Discovery autographs. He's going to assume that position just because he's a really super cool dude and very personable. And I, you know, I really encourage anyone who listens to us, if you're going to meet somebody or you're going to say, well, should I get this autograph or should I get that one? Get Noah. Because I tell you, he is genuinely somebody who, from my point of view, is just so, he just exudes happiness to be part of the franchise. I mean, like, he's almost happier than we are as fans meeting him. It's crazy. And, you know, some things I'm sure we're going to talk about later as well. I mean, just the chance to see his family there at the convention. I think, Mike, I believe you even got to talk to them and elevators at one point. I mean, it's just what a cool guy and just, you know, just a great guy to interact with and talk to. So Noah Averbat Katz. And, you know, it's really funny what he wrote on my picture. And it's so true for, I mean, when we were talking to him about the podcast, he said, Jamie, congrats on acquiring your most valuable and precious item, this autograph. Noah Averbat Katz, obviously, as Rainn. So really cool. I also did get Jonathan Del Arco from Picard. And then the last autographs that I'm going to talk about, really, I almost want to get emotional thinking about this, but Ken Mitchell, And, you know, I know me and you talked a lot about, you know, our thoughts on, you know, whether or not we were going to get Ken Mitchell autographs or photo ops or whatever at this convention. And both of us had kind of decided, you know, that we weren't. But when I saw, you know, and obviously I didn't get a chance to see his panel, which is, I would say, probably my biggest regret of our Vegas weekend, that we missed that panel on Wednesday. If I could have done it over again, I would have definitely been a part of it. But seeing him in the vendor's room, getting a chance to interact with him and, you know, talk to him in the limited fashion that we were able to talk to him, it was definitely an emotional experience for me, and it hit me right to the core. And as a result, I felt obligated to get autographs. And now, you know, as most people will know, he's at the point now where he can't even use his hands to autograph. So they use a stamping device that he kisses. So he basically blesses the autograph. But you know, it was an experience that I think it was my lasting memory from what I consider STLV this year, was meeting Ken Mitchell. We actually went back to his booth a second time. I got a couple more autographs from him. We actually got a photo op together, really nice picture, obviously me, you, and him. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, you making some nice piece of memorabilia that I can display on my wall to, you know, really cherish his memory, because it really does not look like he has a lot of time left, for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to echo all of those sentiments that you said. You know, I think we all knew, we had heard about the diagnosis that he got in 2018. You know, here we are in 2021, 3 years later. I think most people wouldn't think that a disease would be so aggressive. As I'm making this statement, I'm thinking, Jamie, about the docuseries that you and I were watching on the way out about the 1992 USA Dream Team, and how much was made of Magic Johnson getting HIV back in 1990. And here we are 31 years later, and he's living with that like he doesn't have anything. And here Ken Mitchell is in his 40s, 3 years removed from an ALS diagnosis, and he's confined to a wheelchair and having to talk through a computer. I don't think any of us saw it getting that aggressive that quickly for him.
No, and you know, you brought up a good point about Magic Johnson, because I really followed that story quite a bit, and I've even watched documentaries on, you know, his announcement, and people were devastated by that because they felt like it was a death sentence, you know, that Magic Johnson wasn't going to be around. You know, now all of a sudden he's fighting this. But when I watched those special features on Discovery season 3 about Kenneth Mitchell, and you see where he's gone from that to now, it's eye opening, you know? And as you know, I have my wife struggles with her, you know, her illness as well. She has MS, and it's just, when you see that, it really, for me, it really, really hit home, and it affected me. It affected me. So, you know, I'm going to say this. If anybody has the opportunity to meet Kenneth Mitchell or see a panel of his, don't blow it off, because you're not going to get very many more opportunities, you know, and he really is a special person that, I mean, I have not heard one person say one bad thing about Kenneth Mitchell, whether he was right on the set or dealing with other actors or whatever it is. He was genuinely loved, and he's really a special person. And it's just, and he's really, you know, embracing this disease with a lot of courage. And yeah, he's, you know, he's very emotional about it. You watch those documentaries. He's, you know, very, very emotional and very open about it. But at the same time, you know, you go up to his booth and he asks how you're doing, you know, and he offers positive things to you. So it's just, you know, it's just, it's sad, you know, it's sad that he's dealing with that. And, but that was my most lasting memory from Vegas. So I didn't mean to go off on a tangent on that, but I just thought it was important to highlight, you know, that, because it kind of leads into my next thing. Because I really want to do some nice display piece. as soon as I got my autographs of him and that photo op, I went out and bought all four autographed Ken Mitchell cards, from Discovery. So I was able to get, there are, I think it was one from season one, right? It was just the full bleed.
Yep.
As Cole. And then there were three from season two. So it's the, I believe it was the
bordered Cole.
Yeah. The bordered Cole. And then you had the bordered Tanavik, and then you had the full bleed Tanavik. So I managed to get all four of those. To obviously, we're going to, you know, put together a nice display piece for him. And I'm really excited about that. So that was something else that I got that was really cool. I know I'm kind of, you know, maybe shouldn't probably bring this one up, but, I got a book at the convention. You know, you and I got a chance to really, to meet some cool people, but one of the people that we got to meet, that really nice guy, really fascinating, Mark Altman. And, you know, for those of you who don't know who Mark Altman is, I mean, a fantastic, when I say fantastic writer, if you have not read or listened to the 50 Year Mission, do it right now.
Nonfiction writer.
Yeah. Great nonfiction writer. He does the complete they call it the authorized, but the uncensored, you know, I forgot how they phrase oral. Now I'm stumbling over my own words, but you know what I'm talking about. But it's called The 50 Year Mission. It's two books. And I had those, so I didn't buy those at the convention. But he just released the Star Wars version of that book. And I've been listening to it the past like week. I downloaded the audio book and it is fantastic. And it was so funny, because I remember, I don't know if you remember, but we went to his booth and, you know, I was waiting for him to come back to his booth, cause I wanted him to sign my Star Wars book that I was going to buy. And, you know, when I got the Star Wars book, he was like, oh, it's not as good as 50 Year Mission. So he was kind of downplaying how good it was. But I tell you, I'm about 12 or 13 hours in, and it is fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic, which is every book that him and Edward Gross do are absolutely fantastic. So I did get that book, and he did autograph it. He did say, you know, Jamie, there is no try, do or do not, Mark Altman. So, that was really cool. That I was able to get that and meet him, and he's another guy that we hope to get on here very soon. All right. So I'm probably going to lose my breath with the next section, but it brings us to our fan sets. And we, you know, we might as well just do our fan sets spot here right now, because basically, that's what I'm going to be doing very shortly here. But I went a little nuts at the fan sets booth. In fact, you and I went to that booth every single day and saw our friends, John, Lou, Joe, the wives there every single day. So some of the pins that I got, I did get the Nichelle Nichols, the Woman of Trek one, the special one that was released at the convention 2 years ago. I had thought this one was sold out and was not available, because it's not available on the website. Oh, but they had them there. So Jamie picked one up. I got the brand new, the 2021 special Woman of Trek pin for the 55-year mission, the Jerry Ryan. And boy, that one is super, super sharp. Looks so good. So very excited about that. I also got some of the new Women of Trek pins that basically haven't been released yet on the website, like the Rebecca Romaine, the Robin Curtis Woman of Trek, the Roxanne Dawson Woman of Trek. So I'm all up to date with my Woman of Trek pins. I also went a little nutso with the Vegas poker chips, as you know. And because it's me, I ended up getting three of them. I got the Brent Spiner one from 2017, the Avery Brooks from 2018, the 2021 one, which was the Patrick Stewart one, but because it's me and I need to have the complete set, I went out and bought the William Shatner one from 2019 so that I'd be able to have my complete set. A couple other things that I got, I did get two Cole pins. They were flying off the shelf rapidly, and I really wanted to be able to have a Cole pin and then be able to have a Cole pin that we could put into some sort of display. So I picked those two up. I got the brand new Guinan pin that has not come out yet, the Jillian Taylor one, the Admiral Kirk and the Monster Maroon, which looks absolutely gorgeous. And I can't wait for more Monster Maroons to come out. I did get my Rin pin from, in fact, we were at the booth when Noah Averbat Katz came over there. So there are some things we can't talk about that we're hoping are on the horizon very soon from fan sets with Noah, but some good stuff coming. But you know, once again, really nice pins, that we have. Then Gowron, I got the new Dr. Pulowski. I also got the new Star Trek Discovery, the insignia pin, from the new uniforms in the future, which once again was another pin that was selling like hotcakes and I believe sold out the first day or the second day of the con. So, I got that. And then I got a couple old school ones, the Delta Phaser rifle, TNG style. And I got an old school Klingon and an old school Borg, one from the original micro crew lines from fan sets. I also got a fan sets mask and I got a fan sets bracelet. So I think that's all of it, Mike.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure. No, I'm not, but I think that might be all of it.
Well, mine is far smaller. So I think what we'll do is I'll talk about the couple of things that I got outside of Vegas, and then I'll talk about the couple things I got in Vegas and we can recount our Vegas trip.
I forgot one other thing. The 55 year mission gold coin. I forgot about that.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I got that. So
all hail Threl.
All hail Threl. So I'm still complete on my gold coins. I did ask. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did ask about the coin last year. And they said that they did make it. They're not allowed to sell it. So that's a little bothersome to me, but I'll have to get over that.
Well, I think you and I discussed that when we were at the con and figured it's a CBS licensing thing, because last year would have been the final year with the CBS license. And I would assume that whatever coin they cast had that in mind. And so now that they're not under license, I'm sure they can't sell it.
Probably was a Voyager themed, I would guess, because of the Voyager anniversary. Oh.
Good call. Good call. All right. So outside of Vegas, here's what I got. So I've brought out a few times that I have been slowly but surely picking up Discovery cards to complete my set. Surprisingly, I did not have the season one Discovery Kenneth Mitchell signature card of Cole. So that came in while I was away. I had bought Emily the dual signature of Shahzad Latif and Mary Chifo as Tyler and Laurel from season one, but that's in her collection. It's not in mine. So I picked one up for me as well. Pretty cheap, I might add. And then finally, from season one, so they released, every Rittenhouse set has an archive box release, which is typically some ultra rare cards of signatures that they're putting out there. And one from that season one was a Shahzad Latif autograph card, but it was him as Mirror Volk. And so I picked that card up. It's a nice looking picture of him in that setting signed. And then season two, I finally picked up Gabrielle Burnham, Sonia Sohn, the full bleed card, which now leaves me with seven non-archive cards left, non-archive box cards left to complete that set. And last but not least, from my non-Las Vegas stuff, I got, and I know you got this too, so I'll mention it for you, the third novel in the Star Trek Picard series, Rogue Elements. I wanted to call him Santiago Cabrera because that's the actor's name, but the Cristobal Rios book.
I think I forgot to mention that I got it. Did I forget to mention it?
Yeah, you did. That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah, I forgot. I'm embarrassed to say I haven't even read the second one yet. So getting a little behind with my Star Trek books.
I'm halfway through Rogue Elements, and it's pretty good. I mean, if you can get into a story that is not centered around anything Starfleet related at all, then you can get behind this book. It's a real good book so far. All right. So on to the items from Las Vegas. So I'll start with fan sets because like Jamie said, we were at the booth every day and I got much of the same stuff that he got. The Seven of Nine, the Number One, the Savick, and the B'Elanna Torres Women of Trek pins, picked all of those up, actually picked some of them up in duplicate and triplicate so that I could make my frames for them. I also picked up a Cole pin so that I can do a frame for myself. I got the Poker Chip Picard pin, which goes on our family vacation wall because this was somewhat of a family vacation because our wives came with us. And then I also got the Captain Michael Burnham Micro Crew pin of her in the gray uniform from the end of season three. And then, of course, I made sure that I got my Fan Geeks Party pin, which was a nice design with the cards. And John was talking to us about the design of that card and how, with it being Vegas and with it being 2021, they set the pin up so that it was a 21 hand for blackjack with two playing cards, which is pretty cool.
I forgot to mention that pin too. I'm totally not on my game today.
Yeah, you got a lot of stuff. I mean, I think you can be excused. So I got a lot of autographs at Las Vegas. The majority of them were not for me. Since Emily did not come along, she sent me with a list of things to get, which most of them I got except for Oded Fehr, because I would not have been able to get him until something like 5:30 at night and I didn't want to wait. So what I got for myself, I got Mary Wiseman in the captain's chair because, you know, I have this infatuation with captains and captain's chairs. I got Connor Trinneer from Twilight in his captain's uniform as Captain Trip Tucker. We had a conversation with Chase Masterson about coming on the show to talk about her. I can't even remember the name of her foundation now.
It's the Pop Heroes Coalition.
Pop Heroes Coalition. I kept wanting to say Heroes in Action, but that's a vendor. Yes. About her Pop Hero Coalition. So hopefully we'll be able to do that at some point soon. I also got to meet Denise Crosby in the flesh for the first time. So since I am a TNG fan, I needed to make sure to get her autograph. And then finally, you know, echoing what Jamie was talking about, Kenneth Mitchell, just a joy of a human being to be around. And, you know, Jamie mentioned in his part that him and I had discussed not getting his autograph when we were there. Now, I had gone with the intention of getting Ken Mitchell's autograph. I put together a portrait of all four of his Discovery characters. And then somebody in the crowd mentioned to me that his autograph was going to be stamped. And I'm kind of embarrassed to say that I heard that and I kind of got all self-righteous and said, I don't want a stamped autograph. That sucks.
Yep. And I'm embarrassed to say that I felt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a disgrace to humanity for feeling that way.
Yeah. And, you know, I think part of it is you're there and there's so much going on and, you know, we were running crazy. And when we first found that out, I know we were both still a little jet lagged and it's no excuse. But I think both of us kind of had the conversation of, well, let's go over and let's see. Cause you know, I think my whole thing was I didn't want a crappy rubber stamp autograph. Because I've seen those before. So, but we both said, let's go over, let's see what these stamps look like. And they did. His team has done a great job of making these look like Ken has signed them himself. So when I saw that it was going to look gorgeous, it was no doubt in my mind that I wanted it just because of him. You know, that was the whole reason I put together that picture, was because I wanted Ken Mitchell, the man. And after seeing what him and his team, the efforts that they've put into being able to have him at a convention and still interact with the fans, it's probably the favorite thing that I got from the week. You know, being able to meet him, like you said, to talk with him in a limited capacity. And the autograph was very cheap. After meeting the man before getting the autograph, I would have paid double for the autograph because I know that it's not just going to be going into Ken Mitchell's pocket to buy a new car or to, you know, buy this or buy that. It's probably going into a fund for his family for when he's not around anymore.
Yeah. And you know, you kind of brought up something that I was thinking about too, where something else that was really amazing to me about Ken, you know, I was looking at some photo op pictures. I know we took a selfie with him, but I looked at some of the photo ops and for, you know, for our listeners who weren't at Vegas, you know, they had this glass partition that was up during the photo ops, obviously to protect. And you know, I don't want this to come across like I'm saying that people should have done this or shouldn't, whatever. You know, people make their own choices. But it really looked like to me that Ken Mitchell was trying to go above and beyond to make everybody's experience at Las Vegas very personable with them. So he didn't take the picture with the partition. He allowed people to come right up to him. And when we did our selfies, he allowed us to come right up to him. Now some people may say, well, he shouldn't have done that, especially with, you know, his health and, you know, where he's at. But he did that because he knew that meant a little bit more to the fans as well, that he make that personal connection with you. So it was something that I noticed that he did. He was one of the only ones that didn't take the picture with the partition because mm-hmm. he wanted to be close. You know, he wanted to be close to people to create that memory. And you know, it was just, like I said, it was another thing that I had noticed when we were there for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, there were announcements going on the whole time we were there from creation, you know, please make sure you keep your masks on. Don't take your masks off for selfies or pictures or this and that. And Ken's team encouraged us, hey, you know, this is a picture, take your mask off. Ken wasn't wearing a mask. And again, I am not downplaying this virus at all. You know, the two of us were on top of having our masks, having our vaccination card, having everything ready so that we could abide by creation's rules and have an enjoyable convention and not feel like we were exposed to anything. But yeah, you know, just echoing what you were saying, they wanted to make it more like a regular, you know, Ken's team wanted to make it more like a regular convention piece for everybody. So that was very enjoyable to be able to meet with him. And, you know, something that I really enjoyed was when his handler, who happened to look like it could have been his brother.
It could have been his twin brother.
Yeah. But everybody asked, are you guys related? And they're not related. But anyway, I brought my picture up with the four Ken Mitchell characters on it. And he's like, oh, man, this is really cool. And he held it up and showed it to Ken. And, you know, he can't talk, but he can mouth. You know, he can, I guess lip sync would be the best way to put it, and make, you know, awesome facial expressions. And it was just like a wow that came across his face. So that was kind of thrilling. And then, you know, he made the decision as to where he wanted his signature to be on the picture, which also was pretty cool. So yeah, just, I can't say enough about him as a person. And, you know, we heard while we were there, I think it was part of the panel that they did, that he is also going to be featured in season 4. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that takes place as well. So since we've been talking about Vegas a lot, why don't we talk about some more of the highlights from our trip?
And what we're going to do is we're actually going to talk about it on the Trek Geeks app for a We Love Trek session. So please tune into the Trek Geeks app to hear the rest of our conversation about why we love Vegas.
We'd now like to take a moment to talk about Fansets, the presenting sponsor of the Trek Geeks Podcast Network and the Divine Treasury.
Did you know that Fansets has been around for 5 years, providing us with top-notch merchandise? It's hard to believe, but in all that time, they've been providing offerings from all different sorts of fandoms. So not only just Star Trek, but Scooby-Doo, DC Comics, Batman 66, which I know there's some new Batman 66 coming out pretty soon, Harry Potter, and Rick and Morty.
Yeah. Again, we're going back to our Las Vegas time. Star Trek is our sweet spot. We did discuss some of the other offerings with Lou and John, but, you know, they're getting close to 400 licensed pins that they've put out over this time. And the collection just keeps growing. We talked about the badges that they've begun to put out. Micro Crew continues to evolve into an awesome product. Anniversary sets, guess what? There's more on the way. And there's also more officially licensed Star Trek pins on the way on the 1st and the 15th of every month. On the 15th of August, they released micro crew versions of Chancellor Gowron and Chancellor Martok, Dr. Catherine Pulaski, and everybody's favorite Andorian, as we spoke of, Rin, as well as the Women of Trek releases of Lieutenant Commander Una, otherwise known as Number One, and the STLV 21 special edition release of 7 of 9. These are some of these pins were for sale at Star Trek Las Vegas, or not Star Trek Las Vegas, the 55-year mission, whatever you want to call it. But they are now being available to all pin collectors that weren't able to make the journey as well.
You know, Mike, as a listener to our show, you can receive a couple things. You can receive 10% off your next order from Fansets by using the code DIVINE at checkout. Another thing that is nice that Fansets does is you receive free shipping in the U.S. on orders of $30 or more. But there's another thing that Fansets does for you. Because they're such a small business, they love to write you little personal notes sometimes in your packages. You know, in fact, I'm going to talk about the note that I just got when I got in my Star Trek Las Vegas 2019 poker chip of Captain Kirk. Joe happened to pack this package, and he said, "Live long and prosper, Jamie Joe." And he said, "P.S. I threw in a card for the Trek Geeks Podcast Network. You should check them out." So, you know, I think that's some very good advice from Joe. I hear that the Trek Geeks Podcast is a very good network of shows. So I think we should check that podcast network out, Mike. What do you think?
I think maybe Joe should check out our show. I think that's what should happen.
Yeah.
Fansets. Our pins have character, and they have some characters there at Fansets as well. But we thank them for being the presenting sponsor of the Divine Treasury and the Trek Geeks Podcast Network. We came across our guest when Jamie and I were both deep into our acquisition of this year's Star Trek Picard card release from Rittenhouse. Our guest was the one who wrote the descriptions on the card backs. But beside that, he's also deeply ingrained in nerd culture as a writer of many different comics, including some Superman and Batman in the DC universe. He's also authored the Starfleet Logbook, which lets your young ones find out if they have what it takes to be in the fleet. Jake Black, welcome to the Divine Treasury.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, I'm doing great. I know Jamie's pretty stoked now after our little bit of conversation ahead.
I'm super excited. You know, and for our listeners that, you know, didn't hear the introductory piece, we went on a little bit of a tangent on Smallville, a show that I loved, you know, back when I was in high school and just get out of high school and learned some very interesting facts about Mr. Jake's early career here. So, Jake, tell us some of the things that you did in the beginning there.
Yeah, for sure. So I appreciate the note that I did comics. I actually got into comics because I started my career working on Smallville, and I was the writer's intern on season 1, and that led to my being one of the primary writers on what they, you know, what we would call now viral marketing. Back then it was, I don't know, just marketing, I guess. But it was like writing the school newspaper and the town newspaper, and they had like an interactive LexCorp website that you could hack into if you paid attention to the show. And it was a bunch of stuff tied into the show. And from there, I started writing a lot of the licensed products for it. Comics, trading cards, magazines, the official fan magazine published by Titan. And then I started writing and kind of associate producing a bunch of the special features for the DVD sets. And I worked on 5 seasons worth of those, which was very, very cool. I wrote an issue of Supergirl with Helen Slater. We co-wrote a story together, which was a pretty cool experience to do. And out of that Smallville time, it just kind of branched out into other kind of genre things. I started writing animation, TV animation, worked on Ben 10 and a show called Generator Rex, a show called Chaotic, and then did an episode of Batman Brave and Bold, featuring Dick and Damian as, you know, Batman and Robin. Bunch of other stuff. Started writing through the Smallville magazine contacts at Titan. I started writing the Star Trek magazine back, you know, 15 years ago, and wrote features and articles and interviews and stuff for that for a couple of years, I guess. And yeah, the Starfleet logbook. I've written almost 50 books total of various like nerd genre stuff, bunch of card sets. I wrote the Ender's Game Encyclopedia and worked on the Ender's Game comics for Marvel. Yeah, so just lots of stuff like that. And a lot of my work in the last 5 or 6 years has been for WWE, which, you know, that folds nicely into the nerd genre too.
Absolutely. So.
I will say, Jake, I'm like totally geeking out because I'm such a big nerd when it comes to like reading liner notes. And I remember reading your descriptions. Didn't know it was you, obviously, at the time. So you are a phenomenal writer, I will say. I want to say that right up front. And what most people don't know, I have a cast photo, an autographed cast photo that actually sits over my shoulder of the Smallville cast from season one. So that's kind of how we got the conversation started before we started recording. But I'm so excited to learn about some of these things and get into some of your collecting for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I'm looking at the other pictures you have back there. One of the coolest experiences I had with Smallville was Mark Hamill narrated one of the DVD features that I wrote. So, you know, Luke Skywalker was reading my words. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
A man of my age.
Now, was it Mark Hamill? Didn't he do some voice work on some of the Batman cartoons too?
He was the Joker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the Joker for a long time.
Well, that's so cool. No, that's wild that you're able to do that. But yeah, I do have a Mark Hamill back there too. It's on my big Star Wars poster, but
Yeah,
it's funny that we do a Star Trek collectibles podcast, and he has everything but Star Trek on the wall that he podcasts from.
Well, once you see the other wall, you'll understand why this is the wall I sit in front of. So,
all right. Well, that being said, let's get into question number one. Then, is there anything outside of Star Trek that you collect for yourself?
I would say limited. Like, I do some WWE action figures and stuff like that. Mostly, this is going to sound super narcissistic, probably because it is super narcissistic. The primary thing outside of Star Trek that I collect now is stuff that I worked on. And, you know, that's sure. I want to have an archive of my stuff. Yeah.
I would totally do it.
Absolutely.
But with the WWE stuff, probably my primary collection right now is they call them WWE Masters of the Universe or Masters of the WWE Universe. And they're like WWE superstars formatted after He-Man characters. And there's a full figure line, and they come with little comics to describe them, just like the He-Man figures did in the 80s. And, you know, He-Man was like my first collection when I was a kid, superpowers and He-Man. And now to be able to have this fusion with WWE and Masters of the Universe is pretty awesome.
Wow, that is so cool. All right. So obviously we're on a Star Trek podcast, so What are some of the things that you like to collect that are of the Star Trek franchise?
Yeah, that's a good one. I actually asked my wife and my son today, what should I talk about with my Star Trek collections? And I have a bunch of trading cards. I have every poster, I think, that came out for What We Left Behind, the Deep Space Nine documentary.
Oh, wow.
Because I was a contributor to that, and I also appear for a minute in that.
Oh.
And yeah, so that's, you
know,
again,
I see the t-shirt you're wearing too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The donor.
Here, yep.
That's why I'm wearing it for the podcast here. The donor shirt from What We Left Behind. My primary thing though is the Playmates figures. And I have almost all of them except the Transporter ones, the Starfleet Academy ones, and then there's about probably 10 to 15 others that I haven't got my hands on yet.
So do you have the rare Data in the red uniform?
Well, if you're going to ask me what's the one item I haven't been able to get my hands on yet,
all right, we'll save that for later. We'll save that for later.
We'll save that for later.
Yeah. For the awards section. I have to ask that.
Yeah, I do have a lot of like the international ones and the Target ones from like from Insurrection. Don't have the International Sevens. And don't have a couple of the other like convention exclusives, but I have, I think, all of the store exclusives, all of the dioramas, and a bunch of other ones. And I've made a couple of customs of figures that they should have released but didn't, like a 5-inch Insurrection Geordi. I'm all about those nice. Playmates figures.
So are you take it out of the box kind of guy, or are you leave it in the box kind of guy, or you do both?
On the Playmates ones, I'm a take it out of the box guy.
Okay.
But you might be able to even see, oh no, they're out of the shot now. I rearranged stuff recently, so you can't see them on the background anymore. But on like the Galoob figures, I have the ones that I had when I was a kid loose, but I've repurchased them and kept them carded. And I don't know what I'm going to do about the Super 7 ones, since they're kind of the heir apparent to the Galoob ones. I'm kind of torn. Like,
and there's actually going to be a Wesley Crusher too. So
yeah, exactly. Which is super cool. And that's kind of a funny thing too. Like the first of the Playmates that I bought when they came out in 92 was a Romulan, because I had seen an ad for the Romulan on the Galoob ones, and you know, it was never released, but that was my first Playmates one.
I remember those ads, and I remember sitting there going, oh, all this stuff is going to be so cool. And then it never came to fruition.
Well, and even before I saw like the Romulan on the card backs, I don't even know how we ended up getting this, but we started getting like the Paramount store catalog, and they had the Galoob alien set with the Romulan, like the full, the Romulan out of the package and everything was lined up with the other Galoob aliens available for purchase from the Paramount catalog. And we tried to order it, but they canceled the order, obviously, because it just never was released. But that's where I first came in contact with it, was through this Paramount catalog that was super random.
I really want to get the TNG Galoob ones. Like we have a couple toy vault, you know, stores where they're like used toys and stuff like that. Every time I go in there, they've got both sets. Like they got just the, I believe it's just the Federation ones. And then they have like the complete set with the Federation and the aliens, you know, like the bridge crew with the aliens. Every time I go in there, I longingly look at those and I go, I'm going to get them at some point. But when I recover from Picard in Vegas and all these other these other things going on.
Yeah, I still have mine from when I was a kid. All purchased at KB toy stores.
mine were from Kmart mostly.
Toys R Us.
And we had
for me.
We had a Lionel Playworld. That was the other one. And Lionel Playworld was also the only place that I found the Star Trek V quote unquote figures. There were, you know, were more like standees, statues with a little background on them.
So now, Jake, have you seen the X06 stuff? Are you going to be delving into that stuff?
I have, yes. I have seen that. Yes, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, like we've
incredible.
We're pretty excited about seeing what those look like in person for sure.
Yeah, yes. it's pretty wild.
I've got my original diecast Enterprise from that. You can tell it's original Saucer's here.
Yeah, it's not going to stick on your toy though.
No, you can put it together, but you're trapped.
But it's going to fall off.
How about that?
Yeah, look at that. Look at that. Together. Now just tap it forward a little bit.
Right, exactly. So we're talking about all of these things, Playmates, Galoob, all of that. And I'm sure you have more that we'll talk about later. But are these the things, or was there, was it just growing up as a kid and watching Star Trek, seeing, like you said, the Paramount magazine that said, hey, I got to have these. I want something of this for myself.
Well, that's actually a kind of a fun story too. So my first introduction to Star Trek came in Christmas 1984. We were visiting my mom's family in Canada, and I was 5 years old. I was 5 years old, and the extended family was all gathered on. It must have been like a king hide-a-bed or something, but we were all in the living room. And it's a very vivid memory for me. I see the Christmas tree over on the right hand side next to the TV, and we were watching TV and Star Trek came on, and it was the Savage Curtain. And it's such a vivid memory for me. I remember Lincoln gets killed in that episode, and my older sister was like, that's not how Lincoln died. Cause I was a little upset at that moment. And she said, that's not how Lincoln died. He got shot in the back of the head at the theater, which is not better for a five-year-old.
But, no.
But I remember watching that. And then, a year and a half, 2 years later, I went to Star Trek VI in the theaters. Or Star Trek IV, Star Trek IV in the theaters. And still was not aware of Star Trek really very much. Vaguely remembered watching that episode and connecting it when I was seeing the movie, but it was part of a kind of a small town summer film festival that would go on in the town I grew up in, where every like Wednesday afternoon they would show a movie for the kids who aren't at school. And I saw Star Trek IV. I thought that was great. But my real interest in Star Trek started because my parents bought the box of Honey Nut Cheerios that had the win a walk-on role in Star Trek The Next Generation promotion and had a sticker inside. And for whatever reason, this instantly became the coolest thing I had ever seen in my life. I got a Geordi sticker from the bottom of the cereal box. And from that moment on, I was determined to find Star Trek The Next Generation, and it became a huge part of my life from the time I'm 8 years old now to the present. So that Geordi sticker was the first thing that I got. I started watching Next Generation. I came in with episode 3 or 4, whatever Code of Honor is. And then I saw a spot where Entertainment Tonight talked about the toys that were coming out. And that's when I decided I needed the toys. So kind of a winding road to get there, My first Star Trek collectible was that Geordi LaForge sticker that I put on my notebook for school.
Not bad.
And like the day the toys were released, we got the flyer for Kmart, and we went to Kmart like that day. And again, first one that the only one that was there by the time we got there was a Geordi. So my Geordi was my first sticker. Nice. And the Galoob Geordi as well. And I ended up getting everything. You know, I got the shuttlecraft, I got the Ferengi fighter, got the phaser, got the Enterprise, and got all 10 figures. I got the blue Data. That was just the random one that we were able to find. I didn't know there were other like less accurate versions of Data in that line. And I'm on a mission now to get those other, like the speckled and the
yeah, I have the skin. I have the those. Speckled. That's what I ended up with.
Yeah.
So somehow you started watching TNG with Code of Honor and continued watching after that?
I was 8, dude.
Yeah.
No vaccine and no Lieutenant Yarn. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
I laugh because Jamie is also doing a Next Generation podcast on our network. And they've just gone through the first, what, 5 episodes, Jamie?
Yeah. So we did the first 5, and we did record the review for Code of Honor. And it was rough. I think
you're not doing anymore.
No, I think I had more positive things to say about it than Bill did. So
well, that's for sure.
I will say that Denise Crosby was my first crush, my first celebrity crush.
Well, absolutely. I mean, how could she not? How could she not be when you saw her in Naked? Now that's all I'm going to say.
mine was still Marina.
Yeah, I mean, I like Marina too. I'm just saying, like that scene in Naked Now with Data, fully functional Data, was like, oof, that was profound.
And that is not one of the rare Data collectibles either.
Nope.
Well, not licensed.
That's for sure.
Now let's take some time to talk about our friends at Science Division. They've made the world's first interactive Tribble that you can control with your smartphone.
We talk about Science Division during every episode. We've even featured Jay and Kay Leah for their collection and their business. As you know, they put the time and attention to detail that you would expect to this fantastic product, right down to the Tribble fur. And we're hoping very soon, if they're listening, that they come out with a nice Gorn to add to that Tribble collection. But let's keep hoping.
Or a purple Tribble like you asked for.
Yeah, purple Tribble. I want a purple Tribble.
So, you know, one of the things I noticed, and we've been talking about Vegas a lot on this episode, but as you walked around, there were all kinds of Tribble collectibles here and there. But you know what? None of them had that officially licensed stamp of approval that Science Division has. And you know what else they don't have? They don't have the Section K7 app where you can name the Tribble. You can assign it to a ship. You can put it into different modes, like at ease, so that it just sounds like a nice cooing Tribble. On duty, where every now and then it'll squeal. Or watchdog, where it's keeping lookout. You can even have it attack at the push of a button. So if someone is trying to sell you an unofficially licensed Tribble, you can have it attack. But even with the unlicensed Tribbles, we all know that in the end,
Tribbles are not dangerous.
But you know, Mike, they have way more at the Science Division website than just Tribbles. You can get the Science Division gear, such as the coffee mug. You can also get an awesome tote to fill up your merchandise when you head to conventions, right? I wish I had that tote bag when I went to Vegas because I had so much stuff that I was carrying around. So that's a nice tote bag for your next conventions. please get it. And, you know, as an exclusive for our listeners, you can receive $5 off your very own Tribble when you use the code Cyrano at checkout. That's C-Y-R-A-N-O at checkout.
Science Division. Trouble's never been this fun. And we thank our friends at Science Division for sponsoring this week's show.
All right. So I think I know the answer to this question already, but I'm going to ask it anyways. You know, when you think about you collecting right now today, what's your focus? What's your focus? Like, you're hot on the market looking for right now. And like I said, I think I already know the answer, but we'll ask it anyways.
So I want to finish this Playmates figure set. With being as close as I am, it's definitely something that I want to wrap up. And the hardest one to find is the red data. That's the most elusive one. That's the big one for me. And I remember the JCPenney catalog. We got it at our house, and I saw the figure in there when I'm, 12, 13, 14, whatever I was. And I was like, oh, I got to get that. But I don't want the other three figures because I already have those, and I'm not going to spend $40 for one figure. You know, now 35 years later, good job, me. 30 years later, whatever it is. Should have paid the $40 for all of the figures.
And that leads to another question down the road. Well, we can probably get into it right now. So there you go. That sounds like an eBay thing right there. You know, you're looking for something in particular, and there's 10 things in the lot, and there's only one thing that you need. I mean, at this point in life, is that something that you're diving into? Is, all right, well, I don't need these other nine, but I need the one. So can I figure out the math to make it worth it for myself?
It depends. Like if I'm looking for, cause I still will collect cards and to an extent. And if I'm looking for, so here's a really good example of this. I got the 1992 Skybox inaugural TNG cards when they came out. And I thought I had everything related to them. I had the mail away checklist from the back of the packets. I had, I even had like a special like sell sheet that I haven't seen anywhere else in anyone else's collection in the 30 years since then. Because I'd seen the promo cards at my local card and comic shop. And I wrote to Impel, then later Skybox, just saying, hey, can I get some of those promo cards? That would be super awesome. And they wrote back saying, well, we can't send you those, but we'll send you the checklist and we'll send you the sell sheet and a couple of other things. And here's a sample card, which was like the phaser card or something. And I thought I had, pretty much everything from that line. But I came across eBay, a few months ago, maybe a year ago, and they were selling a couple of other sell sheets that I didn't have and all of the other promotional material that I had already. So in that case, that was definitely worth it because I'm a completist and I had to get that.
Jake, you're
speaking Jamie's language.
I am a completist all the way, man. I feel you.
And so for that, it'd be worth it. But if I'm going to get, say the Where No Man Has Gone Before Playmates figures, the Scotty and Sulu, which I don't have, I'm not going to buy a lot of 20 figures to get those two. Mm-hmm. I will wait until I can get just those two.
You can get Data in Command Red right now for the very, very low price of $175 on card.
That would be why I don't have the Commander.
Yeah. I got you there. So this card set that you're talking about, this is the blue bordered one, correct? Yeah. Like light blue. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Because I would go back to the set that came out just before that. That was the mix of TNG and TOS, the 25th anniversary set.
That was the Impel one, I think, right? You were
The second, they're both made by Impel. Both
Impel. Yep, yeah. Yep. Which Skybox bought.
And
right.
Right. They changed their name to Skybox. And they actually told me that in their letter that they wrote back to me when they said, no, we won't send you the trading cards. They actually said, we changed our name to Skybox on such and such date, which, you know, great. 12-year-old kid super cares about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Those Impel ones from the 25th anniversary, those are what got me into collecting cards, period. My brother was a huge card collector. He's a big sports fan, but it was those TNG cards, and an Impel produced set of World Championship Wrestling WCW cards that came out at the same time that got me into card collecting.
Yeah, those were some of the early sets that I got as well.
Me too.
You know, I was collecting baseball cards at a young age, but I remember very early on getting those sets. And I remember like even the Skybox, that TNG set. I always thought it looked so cool, like as a kid, that they, you know, like I remember even having a Skybox basketball set where it was like that cool background with the players shooting. I was like, oh, this is so cool. How do they do that? How do they take a picture of the guy and put this crazy background on there? But I just thought that blue set looked so futuristic and was like so Star Trek when I saw it.
They're still beautiful cards. And 3 or 4 years ago at Star Trek Las Vegas, I actually finally got most of the cast to sign their cards. I'm only missing like Will Wheaton and Whoopi Goldberg now.
Oh, wow.
On those cards. So, you know, it's, they're beautiful. They're really beautiful. And that was one of the things that like most excited me about doing the Picard cards. You know, they had me do, the Short Treks insert set for Discovery Season 2.
Oh, really?
Before that. Yeah. Yeah, oh, cool. I did those as well. And then they let me do Picard. And to do Picard, coming kind of full circle from the first cards that I ever collected, it was a pretty cool experience. You know, even like sitting here on my desk right now, I've got, I don't know, you can't really see it. The light's not great, but the
holograms
from that. From that first 25th anniversary set, which were super hard to find back then. I've got a million of them now. And that's a case where I'm buying the full set of the four for one item that's related to it. But next to them, I've got the first Picard card promo card, which they actually don't consider as part of the set officially. It's from the Inflection set. But it's a Picard trading card promo card. So...
Don't do that to me. So Jake, you went off on a good, because I love that Picard. It's quickly turning into one of my favorite, you know, sets that I have right now. How did you get involved? Like, I mean, maybe it probably starts from the whole Discovery Short Treks piece. How do you even get involved in that? Like, where that's so even
it actually
an option
it was before.
You?
It was a while before that, actually. How to go back? So about 15 years ago now, I was writing cards for Smallville and Twilight and Hannah Montana and a bunch of other licenses. And in 2009, I was diagnosed with cancer. And that kind of put a lot of my freelance work on hold. And a lot of my contacts just moved on to other writers. But then about 4 years ago, I want to say, I was just thought, you know, I've been writing books. I've been writing comics. I've been writing magazines. I've been writing tons of stuff for the web. I would love to do trading cards again. And so I looked at who had what licenses, and I reached out to Rittenhouse, and they weren't, you know, they didn't have any openings at that point. But Steve there took samples from the stuff I had done before, the Smallville stuff, the Hannah Montana stuff. and just essentially kept my name in his files. And he reached out to me, almost 2 years ago now, I guess, asking if I wanted to do Umbrella Academy for him. And so I did that. That was my first big project for them. And I guess they liked how it went and offered me short treks. And it's just kind of expanded from there. I've continued to do Umbrella Academy. I'm working on a couple of Star Trek things, one of them that's been announced and one of them that hasn't. And that's probably where I'll have to leave that. But, you know, if you're looking at their website, it won't be hard probably to figure out.
I was going to say there are three things that have been announced, I believe, for the rest of this year. And that is the TNG set, the Inscriptions, the Discovery Season 3, and the Art of the Women of Trek. So very nice. Well, we'll have to follow up.
I'm working on one of those.
Yeah. We'll have to follow up potentially with you after we're able to know which one you've done. Yeah. Steve is quite a cool guy. We had the chance to interview him a couple months back now, and man, he just, his knowledge of cards going back a ways, and then just the love that he has for what he does, the passion for doing that.
I was going to say the level of joy that he had. For some reason, I'm thinking of Deanna Troi right now, joy and gratitude. But it's funny. We did that interview and I had so many questions I wanted to ask him. Like I literally had a list of things that I don't think I asked like any of them, because once you started talking about something with him and got the ball rolling, he could just talk and talk. Like it was, it was so infectious, you know? And I mean, I remember I think we talked for like 40, 45 minutes before we even started recording. And I mean, it was just, it was such a good, fun conversation. And, you know, obviously collecting cards is something we're all very passionate about. So it was an easy conversation.
Yeah. You know? It's men of a certain age group that are all into collecting trading cards. And it's like, probably back to my dad's age group. And I think we might be the last generation, because of how the card boom for sports and everything else just kind of exploded. And there was so much stuff made. I think people just got tired of it. And now there's kind of an uptick in it again with COVID. So,
yeah, it's insane to see how over the last year and a half, it really has exploded to the point where like Walmart and Target aren't selling them because of like gunfights in the parking lot over them. I don't know if you've seen that story, but yeah, it's insanity. Like I it's out of control, you know, but it's great for people like me, you know?
Yeah. If it keeps you gainfully employed, that's always a good
thing. Exactly. And you know, I actually interviewed Steve as well for StarTrek.com just as the Discovery Season 2 set was hitting. And I just admire him so much, and his brand knowledge, and just how he's carried this brand for 25 years, you know, into the future. And
well, and
it's
how
pretty
he,
remarkable.
Yeah. And how he essentially just kind of said to Skybox, "Hey, I'm going out on my own. If you guys aren't interested in this license, I want to take it." They were like, okay. And I mean, it's boomed. I mean, the stuff that he was putting out even 25 years ago is just like, it's still, like we said, you look at it now and it still looks very modern.
Yeah. Right.
And that concept of the autograph directly on the card too, was something that he really kind of pioneered to a certain extent. I mean, putting the Brent Spiner autograph, I think it was on
Nemesis.
Yeah. It was like,
Nemesis.
No, it wasn't Nemesis.
First contact.
Yeah, that first contact one. I mean, that was like way ahead of its time, you know. And I mean, we look back on it now and think, well, why weren't people doing that before? But you know, but that's how he thinks. That's how, you know, he's an innovator and says, hey, this should work, you know, so I'm gonna do it.
Absolutely. So getting back to our questions here, as far as your collecting has gone, have you built any cool relationships along the way where it's like, oh, hey, you know, calling somebody up, hey, I've heard this is coming out, or they call you up and say, oh, I've heard this is coming out, and you take off from there?
Yeah, not really very many, no. There's one guy that I used to work with at my day job at a prominent sports entertainment company here in Connecticut, who is also a pretty big figure collector, and he and I will watch out for deals and stuff like that. But outside of that, not really very much. And it's not like I avoid it or anything. It's just the way my collecting journey has been. It just hasn't really panned out that way.
It's funny, until Jamie and I met a couple of years ago, it was just me. And I think it was the same for him. It's like, yeah, we were doing it on our own. And then now we're texting back and forth all the time.
Well, yeah, it's funny. I remember going over Mike's house the first time I went over there, and I'm like seeing all the Star Trek stuff, and I'm seeing the figures, and I'm like, all right, so you're into this? Are you into this thing like I am? And then when I found out that like he's partially as crazy as I am, you know, I was like, okay, I got to zero in on this.
The funny thing was, is I had gone to a convention like 2 weeks before. So I was like, oh yeah, I've got all this cool stuff from this convention. And he's like, oh, have you been to Vegas? I'm like, no, I haven't been to Vegas. Oh, you got to go to Vegas.
So have you been yet?
This is my first year.
Awesome.
This is the first year.
Yep, we're going.
We talked about potentially doing it last year, and then COVID hit and canceled everything. So now it kind of feels like we need to be there to promote ourselves a little bit. So
yeah, for sure. For sure. I'll be there too. I'll be there with my boy. Yeah, it'll be the third time he and I have gone together. So
oh, nice.
Yeah. Nice. Now how old is your son?
13.
13. Yeah. See, I took my son. And my son's 11 now, but he's kind of like not really interested in going anymore. But I took him from like 2.5 on every year. That was like our thing to go out there, and some great memories for sure.
Mm. And I'll be taking my daughter too, to New Jersey.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
yeah, we're looking at that one too.
Yeah, she didn't want to hang out with me and Jamie in Vegas. So I told her I'd take her to New Jersey instead.
It was super convenient too for us, because we used to live in Utah, so it was only like a 4.5-hour drive, and a little bit different this time.
Just a bit, yeah. All right. So moving on, we're now in our awards section of the show, and I think we've dove into this first one a little bit, but our Kivas Fajo Award goes to the top collectible in our guest or that is not in our guest collection that has eluded them over time, or they just haven't been able to pull the trigger on it. So I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but go ahead, tell the story.
Yeah, it's Red Redemption Data. That Holy Grail. And there, you know, there are a couple of other figures in there too. But it's that Red Data that's the one I look for.
Oh yeah, that's killer. Killer.
Now Jamie, I'm sure you have it. So
no, I actually don't.
Really?
I mean, I have a ton of Playmates on card. They're actually in storage bins. So because I like really have no room to display them. So I have, you know, my loose figures from when I was a kid, my bridge, stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I went back and I put together, I think it was like the first four sets of the Playmates from TNG on card. Cause they're not that expensive now. You can find them all over the place, right, pretty much for the same price that you bought them at Toys R Us for. So, but I don't have a Red Data yet. Nope.
Yeah, I was hoping to hear about, you know, 10, 11 year old Jamie sending in his redemption card to get it.
Nope.
That it was an original pickup.
Nope. Wasn't able to do it. All right. So our next award is the Grand Negus Award. So this would be the most valuable item in your collection. So what would you say is your most valuable item, Jake?
This one's easy. It's so in 2009, when I was fighting cancer, like I mentioned, little movie called Star Trek came out, like right in the middle of my treatment. And as we understand now, as a society a little bit more, people with compromised immune systems probably shouldn't be congregating in places like movie theaters. So my oncologist was like, you're not going to see a movie anywhere while you're going through treatment because it could kill you. All right, fair enough. But Star Trek, I want to see Star Trek. And he's like, no, I'm not going to let you do that. I mean, obviously I could have gone and done it, but it just would not have been a wise decision. I was pretty devastated. And I may or may not have, it may or may not be the only movie I've ever pirated, but I bought a ticket on Fandango before I pirated it. So I can say that I paid for a ticket, and if the FBI tracked me down to come to, you know, you pirated this movie, I was going to show them my ticket that I bought on Fandango and didn't actually go to the theater. You know, that no court in the world would convict me.
I don't know if we have anyone from the FBI listening to the show anyway. So.
I imagine the statute of limitations has long since expired. they would have a very difficult time proving their case. But I have a friend who was an executive at IMAX, and you know, she would send me someone that I worked with at Smallville, and she would send me from time to time just swag from whatever big movie was coming out. And you know, I had Fantastic Four stuff and just a bunch of geeky swag from movies that were going to IMAX. Well, one day I went out and got my mail, and there was a poster tube in it. And I didn't know what it was. It said IMAX on it, so I knew it was something from my friend. I opened it up and I unrolled it, and it was a poster signed by the full cast of the movie, minus Simon Pegg. Simon Pegg is the only cast member not signing it.
Wow.
A bunch of the producers have signed it. Leonard Nimoy was on there. Anton Yelchin was on there.
Oh, wow.
Chris Pine, Zoe Saldana, everybody was on it. That is easily...
Yeah.
Centerpiece of my collection.
So did you go to Vegas the year that Simon Pegg was there by any chance?
No.
Oh, man.
No, that's another of those, someday I will find the opportunity to get him to sign it. And I need JJ to sign it too. JJ didn't sign that either.
Yep. Wow. That is cool.
I'm thinking now with the CBS Viacom merger, we might end up seeing some of those guys at the official Star Trek conventions coming up.
Yeah. At the missions ones.
Yeah. Yeah. It just kind of feels like, you know, it's been 12 years since the first one came out, and they've had very limited availability for conventions. It seems like now would be the time to really bust them out. And,
yeah.
I mean, you know, Chris Pine and Zoe Saldana are always busy with movies, and Carl Urban's got the boys. But, you know, I'm sure
Carl Urban does a lot of conventions, though.
He does. He really does.
He cancels a lot, though. He's always like coming and then canceling at the last minute.
Yeah. He was supposed to be at Rhode Island Comic Con a couple of years ago. We were all prepared. We're going to meet him. And then he canceled out at the last minute. So.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, yes, I would say that holds quite a high cash value.
Yeah, so I can actually, if you want to go on a little journey with me here.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
There it is.
That is so awesome.
That is cool. You'll have to send us a picture of that for our listeners, for
Pine,
sure.
Pine, Greenwood, sure. Yeah. Leonard Nimoy.
Zachary Quinto and Leonard Nimoy right together.
That is so awesome.
Alex Kurtzman is here. So really, Robert Orkai, it was pretty much everybody, but Simon Pegg and JJ are the two that, you know, I just got to get those added onto it.
At least it's only two and not like three quarters of the cast.
Right.
You know?
Right.
All right. So we go from cash value to our Resican Flute Award. So this is the collectible that you have that, you know, it might not be worth any money to anybody, but it means the world to you. So what's the collectible that you have that has the most sentimental value?
Can I do two?
You can do whatever you like.
Do I have to pick one?
Yeah. No, you can do whatever you like.
Well, the honorable mention goes to those What We Left Behind posters. But that's, you know, that's the narcissist in me. The first one is I have a print of a painting done by Isa Briones that she sent. She sent two prints, actually, to my family and me about a year ago, I guess. And she, you know, I wrote a story for StarTrek.com, an essay about fighting cancer and how I have twin daughters and they came after my cancer fight. And how when I was watching the second episode of Picard and I was seeing Daj and Soji and their relationship and everything, that it just reminded me of my girls and how Picard kind of became a girl dad for Soji and Daj. And, you know, Kobe had just passed away and girl dad was a big social media trend. Anyway, Isa just really appreciated the article and got in touch with me and just wanted to send a print to my family and me. She ended up sending two. And so that, you know, they're super cool, super personal and sentimental. The other one is, it's so dumb. And
that's okay. My wife, dumb.
My wife and my son were just like, yeah, that's it. That's the most sentimental one. It's the seat cushion from the Star Trek Beyond premiere in San Diego. So San Diego Comic Con. And again, my friend at IMAX reached out to me. My dad had just died unexpectedly. And my wife and I were taking care of my mom who had Alzheimer's. Things were really heavy, really hard. And my friend at IMAX just said, hey, do you want to go to the Star Trek Beyond premiere in San Diego? Yes, I do very much. And so she got us passes and my wife and I went down, and it is the single coolest thing I have ever done in my life is attending this premiere. I don't know if you guys know anything about what went down that night. We walked the red carpet. It was unreal. They fed us. There was a costume contest. Scott Mance was hosting the pre-show events. They showed Corbinite Maneuver on the big screen before the event. Then Conan O'Brien's hosting the main show. Nichelle Nichols is escorted out onto the stage. And then Conan's like, and we're going to have the score of the movie live tonight. And the San Diego Philharmonic comes out on stage and they perform the score live with the movie playing behind them on this massive, massive outdoor IMAX. And then they bring the cast up and the whole cast is there and they come out and sit in the audience just with us. And so Simon Pegg, of all people, is sitting on the row behind us. And
but you didn't have your poster.
I know. If I could have, man. But so then they're waiting for the sun to go down and the sun is dipping and the orchestra starts this overture to the movie. There's this big laser show going out everywhere. And then just as the overture is finishing up, there's a fireworks display over the screen from the harbor in San Diego. And then we watch the movie. And I love the movie. I think it's the best of the three to me. It's quintessentially Star Trek. It's just fantastic. I'm there with my wife. It's literally the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. And they had laid out these rows of wooden folding chairs and put branded Star Trek Beyond branded seat cushions on all of them. And I kept my seat cushion from that experience because it is the coolest thing I've ever done. And it's like the embodiment of that experience.
Wow.
I'm like,
it's even cooler than the swag bag they gave.
I'm like speechless right now. Like, no, I'm serious. Like, we're going to have you on again because I have a feeling like I've never heard some of the stories that I can't even fathom some of the stories that you have. It's crazy.
Yeah. My life has been a little bit unique. It's been
sounds like a whirlwind.
It's been a remarkable journey, actually. Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah. Jake, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And where can you be found online?
I'm Jake Boy Slim on Instagram and Twitter, and well, pretty much everywhere else, but Instagram and Twitter are the main ones that I'm on. And jakeblack.com will take you to my Amazon store where you can see my Amazon author page, rather, where you can pick up a bunch of the books I wrote.
All right. So we are looking for collectors like Jake who would like to be featured on the Divine Treasury.
You can find us on Twitter at @Divine_Treasury, on Instagram with the same handle. We're both on Facebook and can be found popping into and out of Camp Kittimer from time to time. So if you'd like to be on the show, please direct message us on one of these platforms, and please send us your pictures or videos.
You can also subscribe to the Trek Geeks Podcast Network YouTube channel, where the Divine Treasury is featured. Each time we have an episode release, you can listen to it on YouTube if that's where you would prefer. We've also recently begun our review videos where we'll review products. That is Level 3 Diagnostic. There will be a 15-minute portion that is exclusive to the Trek Geeks Podcast Network app, but then there will be a video portion that will be released on YouTube. So go to YouTube to check out all of these things, and you never know what else we might put out there.
If you enjoy listening to the Divine Treasury, you can subscribe to the podcast first by downloading the Trek Geeks mobile app, where you not only get the Divine Treasury, but you get the flagship show, you get Discovering Trek, you get Deep Space Pride, you get the Sci-Fi Sisters, you get Polytrex, you get 5-Year Mission, the podcast, aptly named. You get With the First Link. You get Drawn to Trek. You get Infinite Trek. You get Science Station 2. Is there anything I missed? Yeah, you get everything that's available on the Trek Geeks Podcast Network. But if it's just us you're looking for, you can search for us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts as well.
You can also support the Divine Treasury and the Trek Geeks Podcast Network, all those wonderful shows that Mike just talked about, by supporting us on Patreon. Get access to unedited recordings of every episode on the network, especially this 2.5-hour episode that we're doing right now, as well as other exclusive content and so many other awesome perks.
And if you'd like to become a producer on the network and get access to the aforementioned raw audio of the Divine Treasury, that definitely will be in excess of 2, maybe 3 hours, head on over to patreon.com/trekgeeks.
The Trek Geeks Podcast Network. No one talks Star Trek like we do. And we also want to thank a very special thanks out to the band 5-Year Mission. Do you know that 5-Year Mission is the music that we use on every episode of The Divine Treasury? And collectors, we're speaking to you specifically. They are writing a song for every episode of the original series. And this is not parody music, but this is content based on the show itself. So please go down to 5yearmission.net, put some CDs in your cart, because we know in collecting, it's not about the downloadable content. It's about the physical media. So please pick up year 1, year 2, year 3, and year 4, as well as The Trouble with Tribbles and Spock's Brain. Make 5-Year Mission a part of your collection today.
And on our next episode of The Divine Treasury, you have seen her tweets of some awesome collectibles from the 60s and the 70s of Star Trek, we welcome Lisa Herrera on our next episode. But until then, this has been episode 20 of The Divine Treasury. I bet you can't believe we're going to go that long. The Divine Treasury, connecting through collecting.
Music for The Divine Treasury is provided by 5-Year Mission. They're writing an original song for each episode of Star Trek. Hear more of their music at 5YearMission.net. The Divine Treasury is a production of Coconut Media Works. Executive producers Bill Smith and Dan Davidson. For more great Star Trek discussion, discover the other shows of the Trek Geeks Podcast Network at TrekGeeks.com or find us in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.